Welcome to the Soldier for Life podcast, where we share information and resources for our military and veteran families, from employment and education to health and wellness and Army retirement. We're here to help you learn more about programs and resources that are available to our Army family. The information shared in this podcast does not constitute an endorsement by Soldier for Life, United States Army, or the Department of Defense. And now, let's get started with this week's episode. Thank you for joining us for another episode of the Soldier for Life podcast. I'm your host, Colonel Jarrett Thomas. On today's show, I'm pleased to welcome retired Marine Colonel Duncan Milne, the president of Dixon Center for Military and Veteran Services, an organization with a mission and history that is very similar to our own. Dixon Center for Military and Veteran Services works with organizations from all sectors of society, providing them with technical assistance and training, resource sharing, and leadership to help these organizations improve the lives of veterans and families that they serve. More specifically, Dixon Center uses their influence, ideas, and actions to assist other organizations who in turn integrate veterans and their families into their own existing programs. Duncan, thank you so much for being with us on the podcast today.
Colonel Thomas, thank you for having us, and thank you for your Soldier for Life team reaching out. We love to talk and talk about our work and talk about your work as well.
No, that's awesome. Hey, Duncan, let's get things started by having you tell us about Dixon Center's mission and history. How and when did the Dixon Center come into being, and why was it created?
Well, I'll tell you, your timing couldn't be better. Tomorrow is the eve of our 12th anniversary when Dixon Center was stood up in 2012, and we're not going anywhere. We're very proud of our work. We're very proud of the space we hold in the place. Dixon Center came to be based on a question, and that question was asked by, and I'm paraphrasing, but asked by Admiral Mike Mullen when he was the chairman, talking to our chairman, Colonel David Sutherland, and it basically said, I go around the country and keep getting asked, and people want to help veterans and they don't know how. So we started out on this mission of visiting communities and states and organizations all over to try and connect donors to needs in the country. As you know, a lot of people go around thinking that the DOD and the VA take care of everything for veterans and their families. While they have great resources and change a million lives every day in a positive way, they're just not simply accessible to everybody, and people fall through the gaps. So that's why Dixon Center really stood up. As you said earlier, our mission really is to ensure that veterans and military families can simply succeed where they live across all organizations. And really, at the end of the day, our mission is simply to make the lives of veterans and their families better.
No, that's great to hear. And I think you know, and our listeners know as well, I mean, we have a lot of soldiers that transition from wearing the uniform into, you know, veteran status. And so all of the help that the service members as they transition get and what their families get, it's bigger than what, of course, DOD and VA can do. So those agencies out there that can assist with that are truly helpful for our veterans and their families. What is your background, Duncan, and how did you first get involved with Dixon Center?
I was commissioned in 87 in the Marine Corps. Like every Marine, I'm a rifleman. It's just my rifle happened to be a 20-millimeter cannon on the front nose of a AH-1 Whiskey Super Cobra. I retired in 2011 at a Marine Corps Air Station Miramar. Wandered aimlessly across the planet trying to figure out my purpose in life, and it wasn't a defense contractor. So I ended up trying to work into the veteran space. And I had the pleasure of working with, as I mentioned or alluded to earlier, David Sutherland on the joint staff. And once I got out and once he stood up Dixon Center, he reached out to me so we could share our common vision of how we could create a center where other organizations and individuals could come to for all those things you talked about, the technical assistance, the leadership, expertise, all that good stuff. So that's how I first got involved with Dixon Center. And I'm in my 10th year of the 12 as we go through, and couldn't be happier to wake up every day with a purpose-driven job and working to serve the people that I've served with.
We talked about, you know, how your organization focuses mainly on helping other organizations better serve the military and veteran communities. Could you tell us more about how that works and the types of work that you do?
Sure. I'm going to use an approximate figure. About 11 million organizations do not integrate veterans and military families into their operations. We have a lot of veteran supporting organizations that are out there that do a great job. They know how to do it. We don't need to help them. What we need to do is try and integrate veterans and military families into existing programs. One of the premises of why Dixon Center was stood up was because of all the redundancies that were out in space. So a service member leaving is just confronted with this sea of organizations, some of them good, some of them bad. And what we wanted to do was eliminate some of those redundancies, consolidate the strength, strong organizations, and make sure that they were known. So we do that with corporate America. We do it with federal, state, local government organizations. We do it with NGOs, every kind of organization. There's no closed door at Dixon Center for organizations or individuals that want to increase their impact for veterans and military families. You know, I go back to the perception out there in the general public. You know, a lot of people can't tell a submarine from a Marine. And we just somehow have to make sure that although they know what veterans are, they don't know who we are. And that's part of the process of educating these organizations. What we don't need in a resource-constrained environment to have a whole bunch of organizations fighting for the same amount of money. What we really need to do is make that as efficient as possible and focus on the right things, the critical gaps that are out there, and the emerging realities of the facts that veterans' needs are not going away, they are evolving. And we're seeing that with aging Vietnam veterans now, and a lot of increased needs in that end, and a whole spectrum of challenges that face for this generations of service members that are on active duty transitioning out.
No, that's a great point. And you know, you talked about the difference between a submarine and a Marine, and we can laugh about that with a military background. But there are a lot of people that what we say and what we do doesn't translate well to someone who is not someone who spent time in the military. And we do a great job within the military, and all the branches are included with talking and telling our story to ourselves. But it's really kind of what you all do, being able to help translate those needs, the things that veterans are going through as they transition, things that their families are going through that are unique to the military experience, that are not easily understood by someone who hasn't served. So really appreciate what you all do out there to help the civilian community not closely aligned with a military installation or military members, for them to understand some of the uniqueness with what we do. And I know that you all focus on three main pillars, you know, work with purpose, heal with honor, and live with hope. Let's dive a little bit deeper into each one of those. First, what does work with a purpose mean, and what do you do to help veterans find employment?
Well, we all know that the centerpiece of quality of life for a lot of veterans and their families is a good job. That solves a lot of the other challenges that are out there. So really our work with purpose pillar really focuses on creating pathways to careers where veterans earn a family wage and have affordable health care and benefits. And it's careers that allow veterans to set and meet their future goals, because everybody gets out. They don't necessarily want to do what they did in the military, but they want to have an avenue to a better life for their family and growth, both personally and professionally. And we want to make sure that opportunities exist out there. So we work with corporations. We work with organized labor. We work with mom and pop places out there to try and find pathways to jobs that are going to be there today and tomorrow. So we're refocusing a lot of that stuff on renewable energies, cybersecurity, all these buzzwords you hear now, but are really high demand jobs that 10 years ago, a transitioning service member had a real hard time getting just because they didn't have a degree from Cal Poly or something like that. So the need is there so much that the space has changed and organizations are more willing in the technology fields to, and have to, quite honestly, to bring in a large number of folks with military background. So it's kind of a perfect storm right now in terms of those opportunities being out there. But really, at the end of the day, it's I want to have a job for a service member that supports their family and allows them to grow moving forward.
You know, that's great. Then, you know, as well as I do, when these corporations or businesses or jobs that are out there start employing service members and bringing them on, you know, to their team, you know, they notice not only the leadership ability, but they also notice you know, the value system that they bring with them. A lot of that translates into the workforce that they're entering, you know, so it's good to just get them in the door. And then once corporations start hiring these veterans, they tend to continue to hire them because of, you know, that work ethic that we have as service members. But along with those same lines with, you know, spouses and spouse employment as well, are one of the things that I think we all are looking to improve, because you mentioned it earlier, the quality of life matters not only when you're wearing the uniform, the quality of life matters even more when you, you know, separate and want to do something else and you want to be a member of a local community. You want that same sort of quality of life when you leave. So, and next, could you tell us about the work that you do in the veteran wellness space?
Yeah, I'd love to. I tell you that that's probably one of our biggest growing areas, quite honestly. A lot of it came out of the pandemic, but a lot of it was just becoming a little more self-aware. We've always talked about holistic approaches to serving our veteran population. And I'll just stop saying veterans and our families. Please just assume I'm talking about the families when I say veterans now, because we can't talk about us without talking about them. We decided to use as a model SAMHSA's 8 dimensions of wellness. I'll rattle them off real quick just so anybody knows. There's emotional, physical, social, environmental, occupational, spiritual, intellectual, and financial. And what we really understand is that a job's great. Its job is wonderful. But if one of those cogs in the wheel or gears in the wheel is out there not functioning properly, the job doesn't matter. So we have to approach things in a holistic sense, but focusing on each one of those. Some of those things may be financial literacy or maybe health or maybe any number of things, environmental. But it's really important that people, one, accept that the job's not just punching a time card and getting a check. And corporations understand that that's not just punching a time card and getting a check. They have to be kind of stewards of all these separate things that families have to go through and be aware of them. And especially as a military family transitions out. So we focus again on having an ear open to that and focusing on the listening part, but making sure that those things are taken care of as well as simply the mechanics of having a job. When I talked about jobs, I talked about the future jobs, and that's kind of where we're looking and streaming down. When I talk about wellness, again, a perfect storm. Corporations, people out there hiring jobs are having such difficulty with the workforce that's out there in terms of, you know, retention, recruiting, integrating. They understand that these issues of wellness are just as important. So they are looking for that as well. So it's great that we have this confluence where it's stuff that our service members, transitioning service members, families need, but it's also stuff that the corporations are understanding that are important to attract and maintain and keep talent.
No, that's perfect. And I think we're all learning what not only attracts talent, but keeps talent in an organization. And I know that as we all grow, those that are going into the job market and those that are employing members into the job market, the realization of, hey, you got to factor in these additional things like health and wellness to bring and keep talent. I think that's an important thing to look at. So I'm glad you mentioned that as well. Finally, let's discuss Live with Hope and how you help veterans and their families find safe and affordable housing.
Living with Hope is about accessing affordable housing and living in a safe and secure, comfortable environment in harmony with local community where a veteran can function independently and contribute to society as a private citizen. It's hard to have hope when you're living on the street. It's hard to have hope when you don't know where your next meal is. we work with organizations nationally like Freddie Mac and regionally like Soldier On, both to address the financial aspect of accessing capital for affordable housing and trying to get people off the streets. And those are just two examples of the organizations that we work with to do that. That's become even a bigger challenge, as you know. I think a lot of people, we throw around the term veteran homelessness enough a lot. It's a scourge, we know it, but it's not getting better. The financial times right now that we're under and a lot of challenges that people have are making things even more difficult. So to have an organization or resource that can direct people to the organizations near them that can help, whether it be governmental or private, is incredibly important. The need is out there. I live in a very small state in a very rural environment, and it's challenging for a lot of folks. There's a tyranny of geography and distance, and it's very difficult for a lot of people to make ends meet, especially in times of trouble like now, heavy heat season, heavy winter season, all that good stuff. So basic needs and all those challenges sometimes aren't being met, and we try to help that.
No, you're right. And I think what we're really getting at is treating the individuals out there, no matter where they are in the space, with dignity and respect, and then providing them with at least the means and the education to hopefully get into a better situation. Sometimes that doesn't happen just, you know, by happenstance, and it doesn't happen just because we wish it would go away. It takes the efforts of organizations like yours, like the one you mentioned earlier, being able to identify the need for not only veteran homelessness, but homelessness in general, having to get that better so that those individuals have the dignity so that they can continue on and be productive citizens is really an important task. And just like you said earlier, one, it shouldn't be there. We shouldn't have it, especially in the veteran population. But unfortunately, it's not getting better to the point where we want it to get. So the help that your organization and others are doing to get after that is much appreciated. How can individuals or organizations work with the Dixon Center?
We are always looking for new and innovative or old and reliable organizations, programs that we can combine or try and connect to other ones. Because the strength is in unity. It's not in people trying to do separate things. So any organization that one has a question or individual organization that has a question or wants to explore something can contact us, and we'd be happy to have a discussion. There is no closed door in our organization. We listen to everybody in every organization that wants to reach out to us. And, you know, we'll give you an honest view as to what the issue is and if it's being addressed, and maybe some advice on how to address it yourselves, or maybe there's some people you can work with to increase your impact in that area if that's something you want to do. There's a lot of organizations out there and a lot of things have been tried. Some of them work very well and some of them don't. But we could save a lot of time by trying to direct people to the right organizations and resources and programs that already have some good experiences working with it. So again, no closed doors. I take calls from everybody. We do Zoom meetings constantly. We'll come visit if we're in town. We learn from people on the street. You know, like I said at the beginning, we've been over 700 communities in all 50 states. We understand that, and no offense, because I know you're in the Beltway, but you know, the stuff outside the Beltway is what we need to hear, not inside the Beltway. So we're on the road quite a bit hearing about programs, and we'd love to have new ideas because we're not going to come up with everything.
So what's new on the horizon for Dixon Center? Do you have any future endeavors that you are working on?
I think really what we're trying to always working on is expanding. But I think the challenge is, like I said before, the needs of our veterans are not going away. They're evolving. And by having that pulse of what's going on in the communities across the country, we can identify fires before they become infernos. We can help put some water on the fire instead of gasoline. And we can help identify resources and try and direct them to organizations that are out there. That's our forever mission, I think, really, is to try and focus on what that is, the emerging needs. In terms of specifics, I think a lot of the efforts we're doing in terms of advocacy for different employment alternatives moving forward. Non-traditional roles for people is very important. I think personally, people are going to have to learn how to be very agile in the employment environment now. The landscape is very fluid, almost volcanic to a point, and people are going to have to change jobs a lot because technology is spinning faster than we are. So I think as we move forward, we have to be able to adapt to that, and the workforce has to be able to adapt to that as well.
So where can people go to find out more about the Dixon Center, and how can they contact you?
There's a couple things. Our website, of course, is dixoncenter.org, Dixon Center, all one word. Take a look at that. We have a weekly e-newsletter that we put out. It's kind of what we're doing now and what we're thinking. It's called The Bugler. You can sign up for that on our website. It'll get sent right to your mailbox. I'd encourage your listeners to listen to our podcast that Colonel Sam Whitehurst, Army retired, does. It's called Service Before Self, and you can find that on all the podcast platforms, whether it be Apple or Spotify. You can reach out to me directly at dmilne@dixoncenter.org and send me an email. Would love to talk to anybody. Like I said, if we don't respond to you within 6 hours, we're dead. We try to be pretty responsive, but I'll take all comers. If we can't figure it out, we'll send you to somebody that can.
That's great to hear. We're getting toward the end of the podcast. Is there one last point you want to address or one last thing that you want to share before we wrap things up?
I will, and it's a request from your listeners. Isolation kills. The scourge of veteran suicide is not going away, and usually it's caused by loneliness and isolation and all the factors that play into that, whether it be finances or a family event or something like that or whatever. Reach out to those around you regularly, and don't just say, have a nice day, thanks for your service. Peel the layers of the onion back and have a conversation with the veteran or the service member. Find out, really, ask them what they did. Ask them what their friends did. Ask them where they deployed. Just try and have a conversation instead of just the superfluous thanks for your service. You might end up pulling somebody back from the abyss.
No, that's a very important topic. I'm glad you brought that up as well. It can help someone who is, they look on the outside like everything's going well, but they're just waiting for someone to reach out to them. So thank you again for being a part of the show today, Duncan. I really enjoyed today's discussion. I know that our listeners learned a lot about what the Dixon Center does for our service members and their families. So thanks again for being on today.
Thank you. It was great.
So today we learned about the Dixon Center's mission, their three main pillars, as well as the fact that their organization helps other organizations better serve military and veteran communities. This has been a wonderful topic and discussion. Thanks once again to all of our listeners for listening today. Please follow or subscribe to the Soldier for Life podcast on your favorite podcast platform so you never miss an episode. I'm Colonel Jared Thomas, and I'll see you next time. Once a soldier, always a soldier for life.